Blog Talk Radio.
For calling life, love, and full enlightenment. Welcome again. Tonight our show is about starting all over again with love for love, and that's for everyone who is either getting ready to start a new relationship after having been on the, I guess I call it, on the reserves for a little while and feeling a little uneasy. And also for those people who are renewing a relationship of the past. And so tonight we're opening up to speak about starting all over again with love, for love. How's everyone doing out there tonight?
I'm doing well, thanks.
And I want to introduce my co-host to everyone, if this is your first time. So everyone, let's give a nice, warm welcome, and you don't have to clap or anything, but to A. Michelle Grogan, Janet Hurd, and Sky Vaughn. Hello, ladies. How are you tonight?
I'm good. Thanks. And you?
Doing well. Okay, so we want to just open right up. Want to start with asking anyone out in the audience if they have any questions they want to put on the table first before we start talking about tonight's topic. Okay. Hopefully you guys will warm up because I see you out there. So what we're talking about tonight is stepping forward into what some people may feel is unknown territory. Some people may feel as though they're being unfaithful to a past love of someone, being in a relationship of a partner that may have passed away, and, you know, they're feeling a little angst about starting a new relationship because they're feeling as if they're being unfaithful to their previous partner because, you know, it wasn't anything that happened bad to end the relationship per se with regard to the relationship. It's a loss of a partner, a loss of a love. And we're also going to talk about people who have been in relationships with one another in the past or and now are trying to renew and jumpstart that relationship back up. So that's where we are tonight, ladies. We're going to begin with, let's start with Janet. Hey, Janet, let's talk a little bit about having confidence in stepping forward and in love and knowing that there is a safety net of love when two people are on the same page.
Okay, well, I'm thinking if you're getting ready to start, since the topic is talking about renewing or starting over again as it relates to love or, you know, trying to begin a new relationship, I think it does take a level of confidence in yourself. I think it takes a huge part of you of being healed from past emotion, pain, and baggage and all that. I think a lot of that needs to be released or at least worked on for the most part. But preferably, you don't want to take a large amount of baggage from previous relationships into a new relationship, especially if your relationship. It depends on how new or how old that relationship was. And when I say that, I guess it also depends on, too, because you can be in a relationship with a person and the relationship could be dead even long before it ended. So there is nothing that you can pull away from or struggle to get away from because you realize it was done, it was over long before you said, okay, I'm done, you know, whatever the case may be. And for you, it might be a little bit easier to move forward into either starting a relationship or getting to know someone to begin a relationship. Again, it comes along with a lot of confidence in yourself and knowing what you have to offer, not so much financially or whatever the case may be, but when you're talking about getting to know someone, you know, you're talking about on an emotional level, on a spiritual level, on a mental level, and all of those things. And to do that, you have to make sure that all of those things are intact. And like I said before, you know, as it relates to the timing, for some people it may take a little longer than other people. You know, some people can say, well, I just got out of something. I need to wait 6 months to a year or whatever. You know, however, if that, you know, last situation that you were in just kind of drug you out, not to say you don't care for the person or, you know, have any type of, you know, feelings for the person that's caring for them. But, I mean, as far as to continue something as it relates to a strong relationship that you know that is not going anywhere, then, you can probably pursue interest, you know, whatever, because you don't have any ties. You don't have any strongholds that are there that's keeping you bound. So that's basically what I wanted to say for starters.
And welcome back, A. Michelle and Sky. A. Michelle's been very, very busy, and Sky is returning back from a trip. Do either one of you have something you may want to add or something you may want to say with regard to the opening topic question?
I just literally came on, so I didn't hear the opening.
Okay.
This is Sky.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Hey, Michelle? Oh, her on the line. Maybe she stepped away, still in a meeting or something. So yes, we're speaking about starting all over again with love, for love. Again, I'm going to open the floor up to the people on the line. You can do it in several ways. You can give us your area code in the last four digits. You can give us actually your name. You can give us a pseudonym if you like. This is a safe space, and we ask that everyone is always respectful. You can have difference of opinions. Just as long as we remain respectful, we will all be able to grow and learn from one another. So, ladies, I was sent a question, if no one out in the audience is yet ready to ask. One of my questions, and they're both anonymous, is how can you relax and buy into a new beginning and trust them to stay when all you know is them leaving? So, again, that's how can you buy into the new relationship, a new beginning of your relationship, so that means you've been in a relationship once before, and trust them to stay when all you know is them leaving.
Mm-hmm.
Guy?
I guess you have to, if that's the arrangement that you made, you guys decided to do that, you have to trust it. If that's your decision, you have to trust it and just kind of go with it. There's no guarantee in anything. But it's important to really talk about what got you there in the first place and having to start over. You know, if it's with someone you were already with, why you got there, and just kind of open that communication up. So you can talk about what went wrong, what did we do before, what are we trying to do differently this time. So it's important to keep that communication open and just get some clarity to make sure you both are on the same page.
Excellent. Janet? Hey, Michelle?
I, I'm here. I just don't have a comment.
It's okay. I would say, first and foremost, it would be good if there was some time that passed between the time when there was the separation, and that you take your time and date. Don't just jump back and say we're in a relationship. Take a time and really date one another. It's an opportunity for a new beginning. It's an opportunity to work out and clear away some of the things that were issues previously in the relationship. And if it's not something that you can move off of the table, then you know that that would probably be something that will always be on the table for you and for the both of you. You need to know whether or not whatever were the issues has been worked through, that you guys have matured beyond whatever those issues were. Because you don't want to just go back in thinking, well, we're starting new and some time has passed, and not having worked through what caused the relationship to be put on the back burner and think that it won't move itself to the front burner eventually. With regard to people leaving, you're going to have that's really going to be a step of faith, and you have to trust that they're going to be exactly who and what they said they're going to be now in the relationship. And that's my two coppers worth on that. Any questions out there from the people in the audience, the listeners? Anyone have a comment on what we've just said? Okay. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say that was, you know, a good point that you made, you know, about if you were going to, and I'm guessing you were saying if you're trying to rekindle an old relationship, about the back burner being brought to the front burner or whatever, or... Yeah, certain issues have to really, really be resolved, because if they're not, it's just going to, you know, stick its head back up again. And it's not just even in an old relationship. If you have if you had this really big issue in your last relationship and it just totally just wore you out, you know, and that relationship, you know, was dissolved, and it behooves you to really take some time before even venturing out to, even if you have no more, you know, nothing for that person to where, you know, emotional, where, you know, your feelings is at a point where, you know, they can move on and do whatever they're going to do. Are you okay with that? And you can do wherever you are. But I would say that if you have some really, really strong issues in that relationship, it would really, really, behoove you to really just wait, because you don't know if someone that you, and as you were saying before, because I truly believe in dating. I don't believe in just, you know, talking to somebody, you know, hanging out with them for a week and you decide, you know, I'm really feeling you and I want you to be my woman or whatever. That's just too soon. You should really take that time to date that person. And, you know, so you can see that if that person comes up or do some of the same things that you had such a huge issue with in your previous relationship, it's going to strike up a huge nerve with you, you know, and then all of the old stuff is going to start, like you were saying before, surfing back up together. There is nothing wrong with dating. I'm the type of person, I don't have a problem with dating. I'm not going to allow anybody to rush or push me into anything, because my thing is I need to see you at your best. I need to see you at your worst. I need to see you at your ups, and I need to see you at your down. You know what I'm saying? I need to see how you are. You know, am I to be close to you when you're sad? Do I need to back off from you? Or, you know, are you, I mean, you know what I'm saying? There's certain things you just need to be around that person. Not to say that you'll be around them all the time, but you need to get a good feel of that individual, the personality. And because people in the beginning, okay, you know, we already know how they go. The representative is there.
But I say, you know, in the first 2-3 months of that friendship building up into, you know, whatever it is you're trying to do, you know, the layers are coming off. You're gonna eventually see the real person. Sometimes in a matter of the first week, depending on the individual. So it's very, very important that you start it out right on a level of really getting to know somebody, you know, and that right there will – and let it go for itself. As it relates to the question, I think that a person, they would know. When you're talking to someone, you're dealing with them, I think that was it that question about how do you know, and I think you kind of touched on it a bit, but, you know, when a person is, when it's time for them to move on, or you're talking to somebody, but you have that fear there that, you know, give you the go-ahead to proceed, I say that you have to let go of the fear. Fear is going to always be present where hurt had once existed. If the hurt was there and the hurt was great, it don't really have to be great, but many times hurt is hurt and it's painful. Nobody likes to experience it. And if you have that hurt, and any time you get ready to face something else and you know you don't want that pain, fear is already going to be attached to it. So the first thing you need to do is get rid of that fear, you know, and then follow and listen to your soul, whatever it is that your soul speaks, because it knows best. We cannot be afraid of that. And many times we can't hear what our soul is speaking because we have too much other stuff going on in our head of our experiences, and we can't even block it out. So that means you need to take some time for yourself and get yourself together where you can be able to hear. If it means you have to meditate or whatever you need to do, you need to have to silence yourself, that inner part of you with the busy mind, so that you can hear what your soul is speaking to you.
Thank you. Thank you, Janet. I want to open up the floor again to see if anyone has any questions or any comments they want to make on what's been said thus far before we move on to another aspect of this type, this topic, and before I bring in the other anonymous, some other anonymous questions that were sent to me today. So does anyone have any questions or any statements they'd like to make that are out there on the line? I do want to say this. One of the big things that exists in relationships and in general is that people have developed a fear of being able to speak about topics that relate to themselves and to things that are going on in their lives, because they don't want anyone to know, because they don't want anyone to think any way of them. So they actually, we sit in silence and in pain because we're afraid to open up. And again, I want to reiterate that this is a safe space. Even when I know who's on the line, I do not call you out. I do not address you, and I don't bring it anywhere else. So I do want you to know that this whole setup that we have going on every Thursday night is for you to be able to talk about those things that you've been carrying and are getting a little too heavy for you, or you may want an answer to something, but you don't want to ask your friends because you don't want them to know what's going on. So, again, everybody's mic is open, so you're free to just jump in and become a part of this, because this is more about all of us than just being for you and to hear us talking at you. Sky and Janet, I want to put this out, and Amy Michelle, if you are jumping into it also, I want to put this out. Let's talk about fear and guilt and how it can be a hindrance when you're either starting anew in a relationship of past, or when you're getting back, I call it, let's say, getting off of the bench and you're getting in the game now, because you've been sitting on the bench for whatever reason, a bad relationship and haven't really been able to bounce back, or the loss of a partner, and, you know, you're not sure that you could love again, or you are still loving your partner so deeply that you can't move forward, and now you're ready to take that step forward and try a relationship. And let's talk about how we can control our fears and how we control our guilt and our angst and go on to have a fulfilling relationship. It doesn't mean that you won't still love your partner that you've lost. It just means that you're now going to be loving someone else, and it has nothing to do with the love that you have for your partner. So, Sky, you want to start that off for us?
Yeah. I'm going to go with a personal situation that I'm living right now. My partner died. It'll be a year next month. And there is a lot of guilt. I mean, when she died, you know, a lot of people came to me in the form of comfort, you know, as I'm there for you and things like that. And it was really nice of them, and I appreciated it. And then some of those conversations, they will come, it turned into trying to get me to date them, you know, and things like that. As I think about it now, there was no desire. After she passed, it was nothing. The thought of even looking at somebody else, I just wasn't there. It was another guilt. I'm at a point now where it's been a year. It'll be a year this month. And there is someone who was a friend and who was really there for me when she did die and really helped me through it. And just last month, the conversation changed. And I noticed even then, I felt a tremendous amount of guilt. You know, like, should I even be talking to her in this way? You know, and I talked to a friend of mine, and she says, but Aline is dead. What are you going to do? I mean, you're just going to be single for the rest of your life. You're still young. But there's still a tremendous amount of guilt. And I talked to this person just recently, and I had to be true with how I was feeling, you know, and how I feel. And I said to her, I just don't feel I have anything to give you right now. I can't give you all of me because I'm still mourning her. So I'm in a place right now where I'm thinking, when will it be okay to consider somebody else? Is that something I'm just going to have to do, or will I just know when it's time? Yeah, as I go through my mourning process, this person is awesome, you know, but in my heart, I just don't feel like I can be 100% what they need at this point in time. So I'm struggling. I'm struggling with that right now. I'm thinking it's too soon. Sometimes I wonder what other people are going to think or what they're going to say if I start dating her sisters, you know, her family, you know, they're all on Facebook and things like that, and her friends. I think about that. What would they say if, you know, I start dating someone else and it, you know, it's just been a year, you know, that kind of thing. So it is a struggle, things you need to think about. But I think you just have to be true to yourself and not really care what other people are going to say. And that is a fear. That's a fear, and it's guilt, all of those things wrapped in one in my situation. So starting over, I know it will happen one day. I'm kind of faced with it now. And I backed out because I didn't feel I would be true to myself or her if I went into something not wholeheartedly. So, you know, you have to trust yourself. I'm sorry, my dog just wants my attention. You have to trust yourself and really pay attention, you know, to yourself and what's true for you and what's right for you. As far as starting over.
Thank you, Sky.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I would say to this question that I'm seeing, I would say that fear is normal.
Mm-hmm.
With anything new or with anything old that you're unsure of, the unknown is always fear. Fear will come in wherever there's the unknown. We're not children anymore, and children just jump out there. You know, get a pool of water, they have no idea, they can't stand up in it. They just jump in because they have little fears. But as we mature in life, we know that some things hurt, and, you know, we have certain feelings about things, so we're apprehensive about moving into unknown territories. And then there are people who suffer with abandonment issues. And as the question prior said, how do I know that this is going to work and they'll stay when all I know them to do is to leave? That's a serious question, because that has to do with abandonment. And so as Guy was saying, you know, guilt and fear are very strong when you're doing a renewal, or even when you're coming back out on the court to, you know, to be active in a loving relationship, because you have all of those dynamics. And I applaud you, Sky, for your maturity on being able to state that you weren't ready because you didn't feel as though you could, you know, give your all to this relationship, because you are still mourning the death of your partner. So I applaud you for that, because some people will go in and try and it turn into a major disaster because mm-hmm. they just mm-hmm. weren't mature enough to lay that out on the table. Some people may be willing to work you through that, you know, without pressure of having to do anything, and just work with you through that whole process. And then there are times in that process where we have to work alone. So it's going to be there. It's not that you jump back in and you're not going to have angst, and you're not going to have fears, and you're not going to feel guilt. All of that stuff is going to be there. It's going to be mm-hmm. there. How you work through it and how you let it work you is really going to be the key, and that's one of the things we want to discuss before we close this topic out, because we do want to talk about being comfortable in your fear so that you can work your way through it, and getting comfortable and not so much feeling guilt, but understanding that you can, when you're ready, you can move on in spite of how others are going to feel. I would say to you, mm-hmm. Sky, with regard to what you said, is that you know your partner.
Yes.
You know you knew your partner in ways that even her family and her friends did not know her. And you know deep down within you whether or not your partner would be all right with you moving when you were ready to move forward in a new love. You know whether or not your partner was the kind of individual that would want you to never have the happiness of love and a loving relationship again, mm-hmm. and to give you those things that you need and you so rightfully deserve, that she can no longer give to you. And, you know, she's there, and you can always speak with her about it, you know, mm-hmm. because energy mm-hmm. never dies, and the spirit right. never leaves you. So you can have that conversation with her. That's what I would say to you on, mm-hmm. on that. But for people who are dealing with people who are still alive and they're right there up close and personal, I would say that, like the other thing, like having to work through whatever it was that caused you guys to separate, or work through getting yourself off of that bench and not being fearful to step back out into relationships, you're going to have to work through things like guilt. You're going to have to ask yourself why you're feeling guilty, and then work through those things individually, not cumulative, but individually. Take your time and work through it so that when you do make your decision, you're going to be all right with it, and no matter how anybody else feels about it, you can stand firm on it, and you can walk in your conviction on to your next journey of love without, you know, your fear, because your love will protect you if you're going to give yourself over to it. But you can't be fearful and go in, as Sky was saying, half-heartedly, and think that mm-hmm. there will be a safety net to catch you. You'll be up on that tightrope, and you fall, free fall, mm-hmm. and you look down, and there's nothing there. But when you free fall and you know that love will catch you, because love always love, and you know that it will catch you, you don't mind falling off that tightrope, because you know you're not gonna hurt yourself, because there will be arms, which is what I call a net. There will be arms there to protect you from that fall. So sometimes it's okay to free fall, but you have to be assured, and that's where the dating comes in and taking your time to know that those arms will catch you. Mm-hmm. with regard to constantly knowing the person to be walking away from you, that's really something you're going to really have to work with, because that's about abandonment. And when mm-hmm. you have abandonment issues and you can clearly recognize that you have abandonment issues, because your question is pretty much saying that you do have an issue with the person abandoning you multiple times, you're really going to have to work through that. And that's always going to exist because, as you stated, they were there. So you got to work through that abandonment. You have to make sure. And it's a part of their job to make to assure you that they won't just walk out on you again. That's not so much your baggage as it is their bag to carry. And we're going to talk a little before we go out about carrying your own bags and letting people carry their bags. Because people are good mm-hmm. with sticking you with their baggage and walking mm-hmm. away without that weight, and you holding your weight and theirs, and they walking away like they've done nothing at all to create the dynamics of why you can't have a healthy relationship. You give people their bags, let them carry their own bags. This is not a time for courtesy, where you're opening doors and carrying bags for others. You let people carry their own weight of the relationship, because carrying your weight and theirs releases them to be free-flowing and absorb them of anything that they could be doing wrong, and you're carrying it all. And you can't do that to yourself. Again, we're talking about starting all over again with love for love. Anybody out there have any questions? Anyone has anything to say about what we've discussed thus far before we move forward? Hey, Janet, I'm going to start you with this next question that I got. The question is, let me find it. When you believe in your marriage and love, and you love them so much, how do you determine if you should stay? When you believe in your marriage and you love them so much, how do you determine if you should stay? And I'm going to say, even though it's not written in there, that there is some undercurrent in that. Well, for you to ask whether or not, how do you determine if you should stay?
Right, because I'm trying to figure that one out. Why, I mean, if love is there on both ends, and, you know, why would I want to leave? So I'm kind of lost in that question.
My guess would be fear.
All about fear.
My guess would be fear. My guess would be fear.
Okay, can you repeat that question again? Because I need to hear.
Yes, ma'am.
Get that.
Yes, ma'am. When you believe in your marriage and you love them so much, how do you determine if you should stay?
Well, for me, it's a no-brainer. If I believe in my marriage and I love them so much, and I'm assuming if I'm feeling like that, then apparently the feelings are mutual. Why would I even have a thought about leaving? So I don't know how to answer the question. To be honest with you. I can, you know, I'm still waiting on the downside to help me to give me something to go on, but that's not a bad thing to me. I wouldn't want to leave a situation like that. So maybe
okay.
I'm just not the one to ask, because where love is present, that's a journey.
Well, now remember, this is about starting all over again with love for love. So you're married, you've never divorced, but you might not be together. And
okay,
you might be trying
to. Do that. You got to read that one more time. So you're saying we're married,
yes, ma'am.
But we're not. Okay, that's not what that said, though. I'm just taking it for what it says.
When you believe in your marriage and love them so much, how do you determine if you should stay?
Oh, okay. Well, if I believe in my marriage and I love them
mm-hmm.
so much, and if we're on the verge of breaking up or something like that or whatever, I'm going to do anything, whatever is possible to make that marriage work. I am going to. I'm sorry.
I said okay.
Okay, I'm seeing it from a standpoint of okay, maybe it's getting ready to, you know, deteriorate or break up or something for whatever reason. But I believe in the marriage and I still have all this love or whatever. I'm the type of person, I don't give up on something that I have a strong, you know, feelings and emotion that this thing can work. If I feel like that is reconcilable, I'm going to work like hell to preserve it. If I feel like it's not, then I'm just going to let it go. We can be friends. We just have to depart. But if I feel like, if I'm still loving this woman and loving her like crazy, and I'm believing in us or whatever, whatever it is that I need to do, I'm going to do it to ensure that our marriage is fulfilling and wholesome, whatever I need to do. I mean, I don't know what else really to say. You know, if I'm believing in something, that's where you put your energy and your focus and your time and your effort.
Okay. Guy?
Yeah, I just wanted to say, and with that, first you have to make sure that the other person is on the same page with you and what
True.
They want. And what happens is, and I'm going to go back to my program, moving from relationship to building a life, two different things. We tend to get in a relationship and we're just in perpetual relationship mode. You know, we may move in together, but we haven't sat down and had the conversation as to what building a life and how it's different from being in a relationship. You have to come to the table. You have to put your vulnerabilities out there. You have to say, this is what a life looks like to me. Are we on the same page here? You know, and that's if, even if you have been in a relationship and you broke up and you're starting over again, you have to go back. And maybe you didn't do that the first time, but going back, you have to put on the table, what do you want? What does this look like for us? You know, you have to make plans as a couple. You have to build together. You have to set goals together. You have to plan trips together. You know, things like that that's going to bond you as a family, as a unit. And a lot of times when you put that on the table, and again, we come from fear with so many things, and fear doesn't allow us to be vulnerable, to say what hurts us, what we need, to say what we need, you know. And that's what we have to do. You have to go and say what you need, how things trigger you. I do have abandonment issues, if that's the case. So you need to know that. You know, so if we're not on the same page with this, you know, then we can't do it. But we have to be on the same page to move this thing forward for it to sustain itself. So you got to have that conversation. You got to be on the same page with your partner. And you have to make sure that if you can't guess, you guys just need to talk about it. And like I said, one of the things that's interesting to me when I do counsel couples, so many don't even know what that looks like. They don't know what building a relationship looks like. They have no clue, you know. And when I say things, and this could be as simple as plan an annual vacation, you know, that you guys go. It could be a place that you go take a cruise every year together just to bond, just the two of you. What are your interests? You know, if you both like art history or something, you can go pick a place to travel. But you understand, you have to get the common things that you have together that's going to build and sustain you. And so, again, going back into a situation, you need to be clear this time what you both want and what the expectations are. Going into something brand new, you still need to talk to that person when you get to that point of wanting to move into building, move past a relationship. Really put it on the table. What does that look like for you? You know, when you put it on the table in the beginning and you iron it out, it won't be surprises coming up later. I mean, it's always going to be stuff to a certain degree, but at least you guys will know. You'll have a focus. You'll have somewhat of a diagram of what a life looks like. And it'll make you closer, and it'll make you deal with and get through the hard times better or faster, more efficiently. So,
well, can I just jump in?
Yeah.
I mean, I just want to reiterate on some things too, because if we're talking about rekindling a relationship or something of that effect of whatever, I can honestly say, and I appreciate everything that Sky said, and I can totally agree if that's where you are on the point of you know, taking that time out and just going and, you know, taking a cruise or doing something where you can just bond. Here is how Janet operates when it comes down to stuff like that. I'm so in love with love and the woman that I love, the object of my true affections, that the bonding thing is going to always be there because it's natural. It comes natural for me. It just comes natural. As far as trying to rekindle something, to make something happen or whatever, this is where I am on that. Because I'm the type of person that when I'm in a relationship, I give my absolute all. I give everything that I have, 110, 20, 30, 50% plus to try and make it work. I do everything that I can. Once I walk away and say goodbye, that means I've given everything. I have nothing else to give. That means that relationship wore me the hell out. And so I see no need of turning around and going back. There is not one relationship that I can say I return back to after, you know, after we've been together for a while or whatever, not given everything. And I'm not to say that it's not a good thing to do, because sometimes people just don't give their all in it. Sometimes they give like 40 and everyone gives 60 or whatever, and you have not given your all. And if you love each other to the point where you feel like, well, okay, this time I'm going to give a little bit more. If I'm going to do it, we got to come with it. But I can't say that, because I'm going to give my all. In any relationship that I am in, I'm going to work hard to make her happy. I'm going to work hard to make sure that she smiles. I'm going to make sure that, you know what I'm saying? And it should go both ways. You know what I mean? If I'm doing something wrong, my thing is this. I'm always going to, maybe after anywhere from 3 to 6 months in a relationship, I'll do like an evaluation and say, babe, you know, is there anything that that I can do to help to strengthen our relationship, to help to enhance what we have right here? Am I lacking in any type of area, or if what I'm giving out is it you know, not measuring up to where you actually getting satisfaction from it? Is there anything? If it is, let me know. I want to know where I'm lacking. You know what I'm saying? In areas where you need me more in. And once you tell me that, I'm gonna upset myself, because that's what it's about. Relationship is about growth. You should not be in the same place you was when you started two years down the road, or a year down the road, or 6-7 months down the road. It should be growing. And if your relationship is not growing, that means that it's you know what I'm saying, there's a part of your relationship that is just malnourished, which causes a sickness. It causes a deficiency. Something is not, you're not growing properly. It's like a kid, with some type of issue or mental issue or whatever, and he's not keeping up with the rest of the kids. There's something that's keeping him stagnant where he is or whatever. I don't want that. So in order for me to ensure that my relationship grows and be healthy, I want to do my part. It's not about what I like all the time or what I want. It's about what makes her happy. My job is to make sure that she... I'm sorry?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, I'm just saying, my job is to make sure and to ensure that what I do is that I give whatever I need to do on my end to make sure that my woman is happy, that she's satisfied, and she's pleased in the relationship. You know what I'm saying? And her obligation is to make sure the other way around. To make sure that I'm happy and pleased and say, well, baby, you know, are you okay with this when I do this or whatever, how you really feel about it? You know what I'm saying? We talk on adult level, not getting all mad and upset. Well, I always been this way and ain't nobody going to change. No, that's not building. You're not building. You're not even being smart. So
but
I just wanted to throw that out there.
Okay.
I'm done.
I'm listening to what you're saying, and I'm going to say that it's wonderful that you can communicate like that, but not everybody in relationships can communicate openly like that. Not everyone in relationships are communicating honestly like that. And I'm talking to the people who are coming back for a second try. And those people may have matured now and be able to better handle a relationship. So I don't ever want to close doors on relationships where the two people genuinely love one another. They just weren't in the same place at the same time the first time around, or there were some dynamics that were going on in a relationship where both parties had to grow and make a change. But I will once again reiterate to those people who have been in relationships where their partner was always walking in and out of that relationship, then you're going to have to deal with those abandonment issues. It is real. It is
huge.
And it is every time it looks like it's moving back in that direction. Every time they got out the door, in your mind, without working through those issues, every time they got out the door and don't return back in what you perceive to be a proper allotted amount of time, your mind is going to begin to wonder, are they coming back? Are they going to go? You got to work through it, or your relationship this time will suffer.
Mm-hmm.
It will suffer. And you do not want your second opportunity and chance and making things, because again, we talked about this in a previous show. Your second time around shouldn't look like your first time, because you've experienced the problems before and what were some of your shortcomings on both ends, and you should be able to now come to the table and renegotiate in a way that's going to be healthier. Because once again, we're talking about living a relationship and not just having a relationship. We're talking about living in love for the long haul, so that we can stop giving love such a bad rep, because it's us. It's not love. Love has always been true. It's us
always
that have the that causes dissonance with love. So you got a second opportunity, and you have to communicate, and you have to be honest. The relationships, when you're trying to be honest, and today we're going to talk about relationships of today, and I'm going to address a topic that came up in a group that I'm in after I say this. Today in relationships, people don't go in with the maturity that they should be going into relationships with. People have other motives for being in relationships that have absolutely nothing to do with love. So sometimes you find yourself in a relationship that somebody's there because it's a convenience at the moment for them. So they're not always right there with you. So you can pick up some issues and some abandonment issues from those kinds of situations. So if you can't sit down at a table when you're trying to enter into a relationship and be honest, no matter how brutal it may seem, no matter if that honesty will prevent you from getting that person, then you're operating at a loss already before you even get into it, because you're trying to build something whole on quicksand, and it's going to sink. You have to be honest, because, again, the longer people spend time with one another, the more they truly start to understand who you are. So you can't hide it forever. So you may as well be upfront about it from the start. Hey, I know we're trying to renew this relationship and we're trying to get this back going again. I love you and you love me, and I don't doubt that we love one another. But I do have issues with the fact that you have abandoned me time and time and time again. And we're going to have to work through it. I have to work through my issues of abandonment, and you have to work through your willingness to just pick up and leave when things seem to get hard to you. And that's something we're going to have to work through, not only together but individually, in order to make this work. And if we're not willing to put the work into that, then I don't know why we're getting back together, because that's going to be the big elephant in the room, always. Always. You can't pretend like time made your issues go away if you didn't work through them. And you can't walk back in the door saying, I'm going to do right this time, when all they've ever seen was you walking out. All they've seen was your back. It's going to take a little bit more than you just saying it. And you can't get frustrated, because you have to keep proving it. Because at the end of the day, you have to fix what it is that you've put out there to cause that lack of trust and that source of abandonment. And some of it may not have been all of you. They may have already had abandonment issues, and all you did was pile some more onto it. But, again, you have to work through it. It's not that, oh, well, we've been apart for a while, and we've seen that no other body that we've dated is any better than what you were. So, hey, why don't we get back together? You can't come in with that.
Mm-hmm.
You can't come in with that. Because you can't get back together simply because it wasn't working with anybody else. Wasn't working with you two either. That's why you separated. So you have to work that out. And we're talking about starting all over again with love for love. And maybe I'm going to add the word sake at the end of that. Starting all over again with love for love's sake. Okay? So we can't come in because, see, love doesn't have space for lies. Love doesn't have space for deception. Love doesn't have space for abandonment. Love truly is all about trust. Love is truly all about caring. Love is truly all about love. And so we have to remove those things that make love sluggish. Remove those things that make love stop being able to function. So that's my take on that part. And I think that there were some takeaways from what everyone has said tonight. No one of us is 100% right or 100% wrong. It's like being at a smorgasbord. Pick up what it is that tastes good to you and that works for you, and you know, you expound on that and make it what it is for you. We had a question that came up in a group that we're all in, all of the hosts and co-hosts are in, and one of it had to do with closure. Why is proper closure important? And what we're talking about right now is why proper closure is important. Even if you're going to open your relationship back up again, you need to close the old one. You need to bring closure to that old one. You need to hash out what was the problem and what you're going to do different this time so that that problem doesn't rear its little ugly head again to cause you to do what you did before, because we're creatures of habit and creatures of comfort. And so when you are, no matter how much you believe you've changed, when your back gets up against the wall, the first thing you're going to do is resort back to what you're comfortable with. And if walking out is what you're comfortable with, that's what you're going to do unless you work through. Work through fixing situations in that manner. And that's what anyone who has a relationship and one of the persons is suffering from abandonment issues because you've walked out on them time and time again, that's what you're going to have to truly put a strong focus to, showing that you know how to handle whatever may come in a different manner than just packing up and walking away. So, any questions out there with the listeners? I know we've put some deep and heavy stuff out there, and some of it may sound so scary to some people that you might be fearful to start over again. But no, we're trying to get you away from the fear, and we're telling you some of the things that will bring you back from fear and bring you back from guilt, so you'll feel all right about stepping out there, because, you know, don't just step into it. Date, even if it's somebody you were with before, date them again. Even if you were married and you're still married, but you have been separated for a couple of years, date them again. Date them in honesty. You hold one another to being honest with one another. You hold one another to communicating. Anyone out there? Any questions, any statements, anything aside from what we have been saying before we start to throw out? I think I heard
have a comment.
There we go.
I just have a comment. I agree with everything that you guys have said, but I just wanted to add that a lot of times when you're trying to get back together, you might want to get some professional help.
Mm-hmm.
Because depending on the situation, you might need a third person to try to help you through things. Like, abandonment issues are really serious. And I know for myself, I don't think it's something I could deal with by myself. And I wouldn't be able to deal with it with the person that was doing the abandoning. So I would have to go out and get some sort of professional help to lead and guide me through that. And if you truly love somebody, and both of you guys are really loving and digging on each other, you really, really are willing to put 100% each into the relationship, then you might want to consider that as a source to help you this next time around. And other than that, I thought everything you guys said was totally on point.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Sky and I and Jen and Amy Shell, we always talk about going to counseling and making sure that even if you don't want, because, you know, the black community is anti-therapy, even if you don't want to go to a therapist, find yourself a minister, find yourself a counselor, find yourself a motivator, find yourself a friend who can be impartial and work through it, however you need to work through it. And however you're going to work through it, the key is to work through it. As I stated, you not only have to work on yourselves individually, you're going to have to work on whatever the issue was together. And you can't go in to working, no matter who you're speaking with, whether it's a couple therapist or a friend or a minister or whomever, you cannot go in there with dead ears. You cannot go in there closed off. And you can't shut down when the discussion comes to what the problem is, because you want to get past what the problem was and just move forward and go to the new part. You don't want to deal
mm-hmm.
with the ugly. You just want to deal with the beauty. Well, if you just keep painting over mold and mildew, guess what? It's just going to keep popping up from behind that paint. So you can't beautify something that isn't ugly. You have to tackle with it. You got to deal with the mold and the mildew that has come into your house of love and get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like hoping that, you know, the termites will go away without you having any treatments. You got to have treatments or the house will fall down around you. So those are things. And so one of the questions is, what does it look like to work through all of those things? And some of it, one of the callers just brought up one of the things that we're talking about. Sky talks about it all the time. Janet addressed it, and I addressed it. So we're going to lay out a list here tonight on how you go about working through starting all over again with love for love and some of the mechanisms that you can use. First and foremost, you have to get beyond your fear. Yeah, Bambi, I know that's easier stuff. But one of the ways of getting through your fear is talking with a therapist to work through what you're really fearful of and recognizing what you're fearful of. So you have to be open and honest with yourself about yourself. And guys, I'm letting everyone just throw things out, so you can just throw out on top of me. I'll stop talking. You mm-hmm. have to get back to the table, and you have to be willing to have open communication. Abandonment, as we've all stated out here thus far, is a very difficult thing to grow past, and it's not something that leaves you in a matter of minutes, moments, months, or even years. It's something you're going to always be working through because that is a fear that doesn't go away very easily, but you can work on it and you can overcome fears of abandonment. Once again, through therapy and through the person you're working with, holding true to making changes about the way that they handle tough situations and just walking away. They have to work, and you have to learn to trust their work, and they have to learn to trust you eventually being in. So that's some work that both parties are going to have to do. Guilt is very tough, especially when it's a partner that has passed away and you're still very close to family and friends of that partner, and you're going to have to work through that guilt. And sometimes, you know, you'd be surprised. They may help you relieve yourself of that guilt because, you know, if they love you, they know you loved their family and their loved ones and their friends, and they're gone now. If they love you and they know how much you love them, they'll want to see you move forward also. They understand, most people understand that moving forward doesn't mean you stop loving your partner that has passed on, doesn't mean that you've even forgotten about them. It just means that life does move on, and when you're ready to do something of that nature, and you also need to continue in grief counseling and speak with people about it, and just trust your heart and trust your feelings. You'll know when it's the right time and the right moment for you to move forward. Come on, guys, join in there with me.
I wanted to say that the caller, I agree with the caller about sometimes it takes counseling, because what I keep coming across is there's so many people that really don't know how to have the conversations. They don't know how to move forward with things. And one of the therapies I use is called Imago. And what that does, it allows the couple, each individual, to see things from the other perspective. You know, and sometimes until you do that, you won't get it. But when you put yourself in their place and you really start looking at things from where they sit and understanding the emotions behind how they feel, you know, you get that aha, like, okay, I know where she's coming from now. You know, and then you can be more respectful. You can understand and you can handle it differently as her partner. And that's a big thing. That's a big thing, and it's really effective. So counseling is a good thing a lot of times when it is about moving forward, getting back together, how to put things on the table, how to communicate about them. So that was a good point she brought out.
Anyone else out there have something to say, anything they may have to add?
I agree, but I guess, you know what, I guess we're looking at the positive side of things, where if you love somebody and you want to try to work things out and get back together, those are the things that you do to make it happen. If you need counseling, then you get counseling, you know. but every situation is not like that, you know. But like I said, on the positive side, that's what you do. If you both go to counseling, or if you... you know, both take a look at yourself, a deep look at yourself, and as Sky was saying, that, you know, kind of like put yourself in the other person's shoe to kind of see what they're feeling and what they might be going through, you know, so that to help you understand. There's also times, too, when I have to honestly say, I mean, it's been my experience that it wasn't the fact that I didn't love a person, but sometimes love is just not enough. When you see the same thing over and over and over and over happening, and you constantly reiterating or addressing certain issues, that's a huge problem in a relationship, and it never changes. There's nothing that you can do about it. You know what I'm saying? Especially if that issue and that problem is actually, it's, you know, taken away from you as an individual and as a person, and it's demeaning you. It's abusive towards you, or whatever the case may be. You don't have to stay in certain situations like that. It doesn't mean you don't love that person, but sometimes love is just not enough, you know. But if you're willing to work through it and work it out or whatever, then, you know, I agree with Sky. You know, sometimes some things do need counseling. You know, sometimes you do need that third party to, you know, come in and
you know, play that role where they can kind of see on both sides, where they're not taking sides, but kind of can give you an honest opinion on what really needs to be done in that situation.
Well, I will throw this out because, you know, a lot of times we use that term, love is not enough. But even when things aren't working out for our betterment in the relationship or working out for the betterment of the relationship, it is love that is driving and motivating that other person in what it is that they're doing. May it be love of themselves and themselves only, love of what they're feeling is a positive experience for them, because if it wasn't something that was loving and something that was good to them, they would change it. They would cease it. It may not be love for the relationship, but it is a love of themselves in a way, in a very selfish kind of way. Anytime anyone is in a relationship and they can't think that whatever they're deciding to do is going to impact both of them, they loving themselves far too much and not putting any consideration and love for you and the relationship in hand, because there's no way that anyone can think that the things that they do and choose to do and opt not to do won't have an impact on the relationship in whole, because we are not an island. And we don't operate alone. We kind of affect one. Anybody that we have in our lives are impacted by the decisions and the choices that we make, no matter how small or how big they are. So when we think that we can live our lives with the notion that the decisions and the choices that we're making don't impact the other people, then that means we're not ready for relationships, and we need to spend some more time maturing so that we can have a life experience of love, as opposed to just, as Sky would say, just a relationship. Because, you know, that when we get to certain ages and when we maturate to a certain level, it's not middle school love anymore, and it's not high school where you're going to separate homes, you're doing your own thing, and, oh, well, I'm sorry, I was with somebody else yesterday, but, you know, what does that have to do with my love for you? It has a lot to do with my love for you, because I don't see it as I saw it when we were younger, and it didn't have the same meaning. So as I stated, we have to mature in our love and mature in our understanding of what love truly is, or we operate as a toddler, and toddlers don't know anything other than me, and I. Toddlers never get beyond what makes them happy, what pleases them, and that's not a recipe for a relationship, because a relationship has to be what will be best for us, not what am I going to get out of this, but what are we going to get out of this. And so that would be, I would say, aside for therapy, one of the things you need to go in there looking for when you're starting all over again with love for love's sake, what are we looking for? What can we get out of this, and how can we grow in this, and how can this last a lifetime as opposed to a moment in life? So in moments, I don't mean moments in human time. I mean moments in the spiritual time, because moments can be longer than what we look at a clock at. But lifetimes, you know, we're talking about a long haul, and people don't look at really, people look at relationships like clothing, you know, like it's, your relationship is in and out of fashion. And whether or not, well, this is not the trend right now, and those types of things. And all of those are immature notions and thoughts to bring into a relationship. So to start all over again with love for love's sake, we first have to make sure that we've matured, that we have had some growth. Because a therapist can only work with what we're bringing anyway. A counselor can't work with something we don't have and something we don't possess. So we ought to have something to bring to counseling in order to walk away with some growth and something more out of counseling. I've seen people go into counseling and come out worse. Because they felt like they were being attacked. So they would go every week, pay good money to go every week and block out everything that was going on and walk out that door and still be in the same space because they felt like they were being attacked or they felt like they still weren't being heard or whatever it was that they were feeling at the time. And I say, don't continue with that therapist. Move to someone else because the object is to get help.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not going to walk out any better than you walked in, then it was pointless. You know, maybe walking out and walking in for you meant, well, I knew from the start that this wasn't going to work, but you didn't need to go to therapy because you went in there with that mindset. So if you're going to do therapy, go in it with the right mindset. Go in open. Go in without being defensive. Yeah, you're going to hear some things about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why you're there.
Exactly. And I always start therapy with that sessions, and I always say shields down, you know, and I tell them you're going to hear something you're not going to like, you know, we're going to pull those things out. The thing is, you have to address the fear. I think that's the number one thing that stumbles everybody. You have to address the fear. You have to come vulnerable. You have to put that on the table and hear each other so you can know how to deal with each other in love. So you have to put that fear on the table and shine a light on it and address it and move it out of the way. Only then can you move forward in love.
So I'm going to open the floor one final time. Anyone out there have any questions or any statements they may want to make before we start winding everything up? I want to thank everyone for calling in. Any questions, any statements? Well, as usual, I want to thank everyone for dialing in. It's always a pleasure talking with you and having an opportunity to get together with my co-host, and we throw some stuff out here that's raw and not watered down because we're always just honest, brutally at some times. We believe in love. That's why we do this. We believe that everyone should be able to have healthy and wonderful love. That's why we do this. So we want to thank you for coming out, sharing yourselves and your time with us as we continue to move our revolution of loving and being all about love once again out in society and in our lives. Thank you for dialing in. If no one else has anything that they want to say, see you next week. Same time, same place.